present, who is he? Where and what is dwelling?
So he lives a goodly hence, underneath the mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes Mountain.
Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither, thou and I will see him dine when we bear them thither.
Patient monarch, forth they went, forth they went together, through the wood wind's wilder bend, and the breeze.
Steps good, my peg, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage, freeze thy blood less coldly.
In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay tinted. His was in
good morning, and a very warm welcome to our service of morning prayer for the first Sunday of Christmas. And if you had not realised already, also on the feast day for St. Stephen, a deacon of the early church and the first Christian martyr. David is our preacher today. In our worship, the hymn before the final blessing will be number 357, In the Bleak Midwinter. So let us prepare our hearts and minds. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess our sins. For Christ, the light of the world, has come to dispel the darkness of our hearts. In his light, let us examine ourselves. We confess. God, our Father, you sent your Son full of grace and truth. Forgive our failure to receive him. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, our Saviour, you were born in poverty and laid in a manger. Forgive our greed and rejection of your ways. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Spirit of love, your servant Mary responded joyfully to your call. Forgive the hardness of our hearts. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw you to himself, that you may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, and be cleansed from all your sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, who gave the first martyr, Stephen, grace to pray for those who took up stones against him, grant that in all our sufferings for the truth, we may learn to love even our enemies and to seek forgiveness for those who desire our hurt. Looking up to heaven to him who was crucified for us, Jesus Christ, our mediator and advocate, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now hear the word of God.
The reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, and begins with Stephen talking to his accusers at his trial. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you've now betrayed and murdered. You, who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth against him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together upon him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
May the words of my lips and the thoughts of our hearts be now and always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Well, today is Boxing Day. It could be the day that, just in case you haven't had enough of shopping, you go to the stores and buy more boxes of what you didn't get for Christmas, but now at half price. Why is it called Boxing Day? Is it because you bring even more boxes home from the shops? Today actually is called Boxing Day because it is supposed to be the day that we box up food and presents and take them to those in need. We know it as Boxing Day, but it was known as St. Stephen's Day before that, and it still is St. Stephen's Day if you follow a liturgical calendar. Remember the carol? Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, where the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. My mind quickly went to the care of the poor, since St. Stephen was one of the seven in the book of Acts, who was appointed to be sure that the widows of the church were cared for. And as the carol ends, therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor, shall yourself find blessing. Let us think a little more about the story of Stephen, who he was, and how he became the first Christian martyr. He met death not on a cross, but under a hail of stones and rocks. In the first months of the Christian church, we hear about the Jews of Palestine who were followers of Jesus, and they met together in the temple. This group of early Christians were Aramaic Jews. They were taught by the 12 apostles. They broke bread together and prayed together. They were persecuted or imprisoned from time to time, but their numbers grew. They were a very caring and devoted group, and they sold property and possessions to help the poor according to their needs. But generous as they were, a dispute arose over the distribution of food. There was another group of Jews in Jerusalem at this time known as Hellenists. They were mainly Greek speakers and came from countries surrounding Palestine. In other words, they were immigrants. It seems that the Hellenist widows were not being given a fair share of the food when it was distributed. Representatives of the Hellenists go to the 12 apostles and tell them about this so that it could be put right. And the apostles suggest that the Hellenists appoint from among themselves 7 men full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom to sort this out and ensure that food is distributed fairly and equally. And so we meet Stephen for the first time. He and Philip are 2 of the 7, but we don't hear anything else about the other 5 except for their names. And we hear no more about the dispute over the distribution of food, so we can assume that this was sorted out. At this point in Acts, the story continues with Stephen's ministry. We are told he is full of grace and power and performs great signs and wonders. He's also an evangelist and, unlike the apostles, travels outside the area of the temple in Jerusalem. He goes out teaching and preaching in the synagogues where the Jews are Greek speaking, and he speaks to them with great power and authority. It is the people of these synagogues who find the message of Stephen too much to bear, and they accuse him of blasphemy. They take him before the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem and bring forward witnesses who make false claims against Stephen. How reminiscent this is of Jesus' trial. But you will remember that Jesus remained silent when charges were brought against him, whereas Stephen launches into a long and powerful speech accusing the people of Israel of idolatry and blasphemy. Stephen refers to the stories of Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. He declares that the people of Israel have always been disobedient to God. They have worshipped idols and built shrines to them. They have not kept the law of Moses. They have always rejected and persecuted leaders and prophets who had been chosen by God to save his people. And for good measure, he finishes off by calling them stiff-necked, inflexible people who have now done the same as their ancestor did and have killed the Messiah. The Sanhedrin and the others who were listening were furious. This is the point at which our reading from Acts began this morning. Stephen looks up and declares that he can see the heavens opened and Jesus, the Son of Man, standing at God's right hand. That's the last straw for those listening to him. And Stephen is dragged off, probably thrown into a pit, and stoned, a very cruel punishment. Stephen follows in the way of Jesus. He commends his spirit to God, just as Jesus did. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He forgives his tormentors. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And so he dies. The story of Stephen holds the seeds of at least 2 other stories which are about to begin. First of all, this triggers a fierce persecution of the followers of Jesus, which results in arrests and imprisonment for many. It also sends the followers of Jesus out of Jerusalem, often to far-off places where they preach and teach the good news, so that the church begins to spread. Secondly, there's a young man called Saul who guards the coats of the people throwing stones at Stephen and who approves of this execution. As we know, Saul becomes a particularly ferocious persecutor of Christians until he travels along the Damascus Road. He then becomes Paul and takes the gospel far and wide, preaching not just to Jews but also to Gentiles. Perhaps it was Stephen, his assurance of faith, his words, his vision and his willingness to forgive his enemies who sparked off in Saul the thought that Jesus was in fact the way, the truth and the life. On this first Sunday of Christmas, I wish you a peaceful, happy and healthy Christmas. Amen.
Let us join together in saying what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Full of the Holy Spirit, let us approach the throne of grace and bring our prayers to Jesus the Lord. Incarnate Lord, you came down to earth from heaven to embrace the pain and sorrows of our sinful world for the cause of truth. We pray for all Christians who are persecuted. But particularly at this time, we pray for Christians in the Holy Land who have become the target of frequent and sustained attacks by fringe radical groups. We pray for all who hold authority over people as political or religious leaders, that they may exercise their power with justice and for the common good. And again, in the state of Palestine, the place of Christ's birth in Jerusalem, we pray for a reversal in the trend of persecution there, for governments and authorities in the region to listen to the church leaders in their midst. We pray for all those who would use violence to silence their opponents. We pray for grace to witness to your truth with constancy and faith, and to bear the cost of following your righteous ways. We pray for those for whom the joy of this holy season is overshadowed by pain, grief, or failure. We pray for those known to us personally who we know are sick at this time. We pray too for those who are home alone this Christmas, and for families who've not been able to meet because of COVID-19. As Stephen looked up to heaven and saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, So we remember all who have gone before us, looking for the vision of your heavenly glory. We rejoice in this day, this special day when we remember Stephen, and in our communion with him and all the saints and martyrs whose hope was in you, the Word made flesh, and with whom we forevermore are one. Lord, receive our prayers and perfect them by your heavenly intercession, to the glory of the Father. Amen. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We now sing the hymn number 357, In the Bleak Midwinter.
So
the final blessing. Christ, the Son of God, born of Mary, fill you with his grace to trust his promises and obey his will. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.